Hello, Podnuts. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 33. I am your host. My name is Matt. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm glad that you're here. This is a weekly podcast where I discuss everyday tech for everyday people. And if you're listening for the first time, who am I? Well, I am an educator. I am a musician. And I am a tech enthusiast who loves to get people involved with anything tech, whether it's open source software or things like Windows and Mac or any other type of technology out there that I get interested from time to time, hoping that I can find something that works for me. And along the way, you might find something that works for you as well. And if you've been listening for a while, you may notice that episode 33 is a new beginning for this podcast because I was invited to join the Podnuts Tech Podcast Network. And I am so excited today to be a part of a great group of hosts who have a great deal of passion about the things that they talk about week after week on the Podnuts Network. If you've never checked out that website, just go to podnuts.com, podnutz.com. And if you are a weekly listener to this podcast, you may notice over the next few weeks that the RSS feeds might be changing as well. Just stay tuned for that. And episode 33 is sort of a pilot episode to a new era for this podcast, and I'm happy to bring to you today a new intro music for the podcast, and that is the song is called Functional by Fortadelis. I hope you enjoy the new theme song. Let me know what you think. So over the last few weeks, I've done a wide range of different topics, from Arch Linux to Solus OS to Google products, Google apps. And even last week, I talked about the Apple Teacher program and how teachers can get involved to help students use technology in their classroom. I mentioned that I think that is a responsibility for all teachers now to incorporate technology and incorporate new things into the classroom week after week. And also at the same time, as I was discussing the Apple Teacher program, what I was doing behind the scenes is I was testing Ubuntu Studio 16.10. Now, way back when I first started using Linux in 2009, 2010, somewhere in that time, I came across Ubuntu Studio sort of by accident. I was still learning the ropes of Linux, still learning how to use Linux, and I didn't really dive deep into Ubuntu Studio very much. And time has gone by, and as time went by, it sort of lost track, and I sort of went off my radar for a while, until just recently. And one of the reasons why I wanted to look at Ubuntu Studio, which can be found at ubuntustudio.org, is because I think it's a great resource for a wide range of people. So first of all, what is Ubuntu Studio? If you're not familiar with Ubuntu Studio, Ubuntu Studio is a free open source operating system based off of Ubuntu, which we've talked about before in this podcast. And it comes pre-installed with tons of multimedia applications that are configured to work well within Ubuntu Studio. So if you are into audio production, or if you're into graphics design, or if you're into video production, publishing of any kind, if you are a photographer, whether you are a student or you are a professional, or you're someone just interested in learning about all of these different topics, Ubuntu Studio would be a great resource for you to just try free and open source software and learn without paying for proprietary software such as Photoshop or Premiere and Elements, those types of softwares, or any other video editor out there that costs hundreds of dollars. You may enjoy putting together family video compilations or slideshows, or you may be interested in just recording yourself as a musician or writing music as a musician. And you may not want to put a lot of money into your hobby. So Ubuntu Studio is a community effort and it's created by volunteers. And they're all aimed from being able to be a beginner to using something on a professional level. And it's easy to install, it's easy to use, and it's easy to explore. Best of all, it is part of, it's an official flavor of Ubuntu, meaning that you have a lot of resources available to you, such as other software, other free software. You have security in mind. You don't have to worry about viruses or other problems of that sort. And a lot of the software that's included, you can find elsewhere, but it's all in one place configured to work well. So over the last few weeks, I've really taken a look at Ubuntu Studio 16.10. Now, currently there are a few different releases that are available. There's a long-term release, 16.04, and a newer version, 16.10. I looked at the newer version. There are two older versions that are still being kept up to date at this point. So my review basically is just on the latest and greatest that is going to be supported for about 9 months before you have to upgrade to the next greatest release. So one of the first things that I noticed as I installed Ubuntu Studio on an old computer is their tagline, Linux for Creative Humans. I really enjoyed the extra effort that they put in this operating system. Everything looks polished. And it's built off a really lightweight Linux desktop environment called XFCE. And normally when I've tested XFCE before, I was sort of rather unimpressed. I wasn't very thrilled with the way it looked. It's very lightweight, so you can install it on really old computers and it will run well. But it sort of reminded me of Windows XP era type graphics. Well, Ubuntu Studio is completely different than XFCE I have seen recently. And I think it looks great. It's well polished. Everything is well organized and put together. And one of the things that I, again, being sort of oblivious to Ubuntu Studio and other XFCE distributions, is this whisker menu that is really well organized, and I can find what I'm looking for super quick. So to give you an example of some of the things that I do, okay, as a musician and music teacher, I am quite interested in audio production, and quite often I do a lot of video editing as well. And I'm trying to switch my workflow as an open source advocate. I'm trying to move my workflow to as much open source as I possibly can. There are still things that I need to do on Mac for various reasons we won't get into today. And I use Windows at work begrudgingly, and I'm always complaining about Windows. But as an open source advocate, I'm trying to switch my workflow to Linux as much as I can. I'm also interested in Ubuntu Studio because my wife is an amazing photographer, and I'd like to learn some open source software for her to be able to use whenever she needs to. We are also looking at my brother-in-law, who is a graphics designer, who uses things like Adobe Photoshop on a weekly basis. And my brother, from time to time, dabbles with writing and composing movie scripts and books, as well as all of my brothers write music. We're all musicians. And the more that I get involved with Ubuntu Studio, this is an all-encompassing package of everything that we could possibly need and use. So to give you an example for audio production, this thing is jam-packed with software that you can just try and see if it works for you. On a weekly basis for this podcast, I'm using Ardour and Audacity, but there are other programs in here for audio production, such as QTractor, LMMS, Hydrogen, there's loop creating software, and it's even got an internet DJ console built right in for live streaming, all in installed for you, and you have no work that you have to do other than learning how to use the software. Now, quite recently, I've been complaining about iMovie, and I've been looking at open source video editors such as OpenShot. I like to use OpenShot, but having the ability to have multiple open source video editors available, such as Kden Live or PTV, you can really experiment and try to see which ones work best for you. So to give you an example, okay, you may get free trials with software that you have to purchase and test out different video editors to be able to see which one you like best. But most of the time when you are downloading these free trials, they don't give you all of the features all at once. So you're never really going to know for sure unless you spend money on these free or on these video editors. So using these free editors, I can work on multiple projects and see which one works best for me. I love the fact that Ubuntu Studio includes multiple resources rather than just one resource. So going to their website, ubuntustudio.org, you can take a feature tour and you can see all of the installed content in Ubuntu 16.10. And Ubuntu Studio is released every 6 months, just like Ubuntu is. And they have an LTS version, a long-term support version, that's released every 2 years. So if you want something to be a little bit more stable, go with the LTS version. If you want newer software, newer features, you may want the newer version. So taking the feature tour, one of the things that Ubuntu 16.10 uses is Jack Audio. And Jack is designed for professional audio use. And my experience with Linux, I'm no about Jack, but in the past, mostly I use Pulse Audio. And that's one thing that I need to look into a little bit more about, is learning how to use Jack Audio and the things that it has to offer. The things that I'm familiar with the most are the sequencers and synthesizers and the digital audio workstations like Ardour and Audacity. And I took a look, as a music teacher, I took a look at some of the virtual guitar amplifiers and effects packages that they have installed. And using my USB interface, I was able to just plug a guitar in, and with virtually no configuration, I was able to get effects coming out of my speakers for the guitar that I was using, whether it was overdrive or reverb or other guitar effects that you would normally need an effects pedal to use to get those sounds out. I really like the fact that it was basically plug and play, and you didn't have to futz around with settings and menus and drop-down menus and trying to figure out how to get your sound out of your system. So I was really impressed with how easy Ubuntu Studio was to use. Going on to things like graphics design. Now, most professional graphics designers will tell you that GIMP just does not work for them for the most part. There are a few things that professional graphics designers are missing in GIMP to be able to use them full time. However, if you're someone who needs to edit photos on a regular basis, but don't want to shell out the big bucks for Photoshop, GIMP is a great resource. And just like anything else, like Photoshop, there is a learning curve to learning how to use it, but it is a very powerful tool. And Ubuntu Studio has things like GIMP installed for photo editors. They also include some 3D rendering software and 3D content creation suites such as Blender or Inkscape. And again, these are very powerful tools for anyone interested in learning how to animate or create virtual scenes at a professional level, again, without shelling out all of the money out front. So Ubuntu Studio is a great resource for those interested in graphics design. And with all of these resources, there is extra software included for doing things such as burning audio or video to DVD and finishing DVDs with a DVD menu creator. For photographers, you have tools similar to Lightroom called Darktable, or organizational tools such as Shotwell, all in one place, specifically for using these applications to help your workflow and just be able to be creative in whatever it is that you're doing. And they don't just stop at these tools for photographers, videographers. There are tools for musicians, such as MuseScore, where you can compose music and actually write out the music that you want. You could actually publish your own composition, print out the scores, and have the music performed in whatever music group that you're a part of. And they don't stop there. There are other things. There are ebook readers installed. There is publishing software similar to Publisher called Scribus. This is jam-packed with Office tools, LibreOffice. So you can get all of your workflow in one area and just create. And how awesome is that? So looking at all of this, why would I use Ubuntu Studio over the Ubuntu Stock Edition, or just Ubuntu 16.10? The answer to that is really simple, and I just answered it. You don't have to go anywhere else to find the software that is most popularly used for all of these different types of activities. It's all installed, it's all configured, and it's great to just experiment and try and learn from all of these open source tools that are available at no cost. So this is great for students. And I'm actually considering having an Ubuntu Studio box installed in my classroom. And I'd like to do a series of videos just for my students themselves so that they learn how to use these tools and they can go and maybe not install Ubuntu Studio themselves, although I would encourage them to do that, but they could go get things like Audacity that's cross-platform and download it on Windows or Mac or whatever and start experimenting with some of this software. Other tools like MuseScore, my students would love to be able to write their own music. So I think there's a real benefit to having an Ubuntu Studio install in a classroom. Why wouldn't we encourage students to learn and experiment with free software? And it's not only great for students, but professionals or enthusiasts. And I can't believe that this has been off my radar for so long. And I'm actually going to keep Ubuntu Studio installed on one of my laptops and really test and push the limits of this and see what I can do. There's so many things out there right now that are driving me nuts about proprietary software. Everything is moving to the cloud. I don't like storing things on the cloud. I don't like working in the cloud. It's easier for some things, but when it comes down to it, I want my work on my local computer where I know no one else is having access to it. Every piece of software out there that I use Sibelius for composing music. The newest version of Sibelius is a cloud version of Sibelius. We're looking at Adobe Creative Cloud for all of our graphics design work. Not something that I want to spend or make a monthly subscription to when I don't use it all of the time. So open source software, especially when it's packaged together in such a way like Ubuntu Studio is packaged, is really kind of amazing that this community effort, a group of people have gotten together and done this and make this project so well polished that you can't believe that it's absolutely free. Now, when I say absolutely free, what they depend on is contributions. So if you find that you're using Ubuntu Studio for such a long, lengthy list of items, maybe consider chipping in and contributing and maybe donating a few books here or there, if you can afford it. Keep that project going, support that project. That's what open source is all about, is creators creating these amazing pieces of work and trying to make a living off of using and creating open source software, and the users in return helping them with development, contributing to their projects in ways such as, it could be a monetary way, you could give them a donation, or just trying their product and telling everyone about their product so that they get more users, and spreading the word about open source and the open source philosophies that are out there. We won't get into those right now. They are always looking for help on the Ubuntu Studio website. So if you are familiar with any of these types of software and you'd like to contribute, there are ways to get involved with this project and help them make Ubuntu Studio even greater. And that's one of the things that I love about Ubuntu Studio or open source software in general, is that anyone could get involved and be a part of a community and better a project. That to me is just awesome. So what do you think? Have you ever tried Ubuntu Studio? Have you taken a look at it recently? Because I tell you what, this is very well polished, and I have nothing but good things to say about Ubuntu Studio. One of the things that I would love to see in Ubuntu Studio, again, is I'm not all that familiar with XFCE, and their implementation of it is one of the best that I have seen, but I would wonder maybe another desktop environment, such as the Mate desktop environment, might be better. I don't know. It might not be. I think they obviously know what they're doing. They're creating a great product. But I have found some limits of things that I can do in the XFCE desktop environment that I normally would do in other desktop environments. So not really anything too much to bicker about there. Just an idea for the future. You know, if more people get involved, more contributors come, maybe they can support two desktop environments. Just an idea that I had, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who's thought of that. So, in the meantime, I'm going to keep Ubuntu Studio installed, and I'm going to experiment with some of the software, and I may make some short tech tip videos on my YouTube channel. If you've never been to my YouTube channel, you can just search for MRP Tech, and you'll see my channel is MRP Tech Reviews, where I review anything that comes to mind, mostly to help my students or other staff members that I work with or anybody else who's interested in learning about technology. So again, thank you so much for listening this week. And if you are a first-time listener and you're joining us on the Podnuts Network, thanks for taking a listen to my podcast. And my goal is every week to increase the production value and increase the quality of this podcast. This podcast is not for experts. I don't claim to be an expert by any means, but I do consider myself to be a power user and an open source advocate. Also, I understand that in certain cases, there is better software out there that's available. And I try to review things that I find useful, things that I find interesting. May not be software or operating systems. It may be just technology in general. So from time to time, I may stray away and discover things. And you know, that's part of the fun of podcasting. So when I started doing this about 8 months ago, I've sort of been on a journey. And I've been all over the place with topics that I never thought that I was going to come across. And that's fun and interesting for me. And hopefully you find that fun and interesting too. So I want to make one last statement here. And I just want to give a big thank you to Steve McLaughlin from the Podnuts Network for extending an invite here to have me join the network. I hope to keep increasing the quality of this podcast. And I hope you stick with me and give me some ideas for future topics. You can send me an email. It's mrptechreviews@gmail.com. And you can also visit my Patreon page. It's patreon.com/mrptech. And with that, I'm going to stop here and conclude this podcast. And thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.